All right, everybody, we are back on Curious Apes, and today we are hoping to talk about the future of virtual reality. Infinite uses, some scary, some fun. Diamond, what do you think about where we're going with virtual reality? How's it going to affect society down the road?
I don't know, but I think like we should kind of start with, like, our friend Patrick has this setup for his, like, Galaxy phone where it's like an Oculus Rift. You just put your phone in and then you put the goggles on.
The Samsung Gear.
Oh, the same. Okay, there, Gear, the Samsung yeah. Gear. And you can, you know, you just, it's a virtual reality kit. If you, like, look at your feet, then if you're playing a game, like, you look down at the floor, you know? So I played a shooter where I was in a mech suit, like, from Aliens, and you go out and you, like, shoot it. Things essentially like a 3D version of Galaga back in the day. You know, these things are attacking you and you shoot them, and it's cool, you know.
Yeah,
but obviously he had other uses for it as well, and then he had tried out.
The grin on your face suggests you're talking about porn.
Yes. I mean, you know, I think it's a little, it's almost one of those things that I'm honestly afraid that it's, that it would be too good. That, like, if you had this thing where you can put on goggles and it's like you're in the middle of, let's, I don't know, like a threesome or some sex situation, and, you know, I feel like the, like, internet porn already has the ability to taint, or, you know, outright just make it harder for people to achieve intimacy with each other. You know, it's so easy to abuse internet porn and just, like, you know, watch it and just jerk off all day. And then to have this thing where you can put on goggles and it's like where you look in the room and what you look at, like, you can just concentrate on whatever you want to see. That makes it, you know, I just think it's like a hairline fracture away from just something serious.
Yeah, but you mentioned a threesome, and
yeah.
Now, what if you can have a threesome with virtual reality and you can't have it on in real life? What if you can't find enough people to have a threesome with in real life? And I asked that question only because the point is what about getting experiences? I mean, for me, the power of virtual reality is going to be getting experiences that you can't normally get. You know, a lot of people say you should just travel instead of doing a virtual tour of Everest. But that's a pretty luxurious statement to make. Who has the money and time to just go to Everest or go to all these places? In the same way that some people don't have the social skills to go to the bar and talk to women. So, I mean, the possibility is gaining experiences that normally are outside of your ability.
Right. I mean, I do think that's a very, you know, a very positive way to look at it. You know, if there's so, like, say there's, you know, one of those kids that has cancer and he doesn't have much time left and he really wanted to see, like, the Eiffel Tower in Paris, you know, he can't go there, but you can give him virtual goggles and he can, like, see it, and that's something that's close, you know. But we're not really talking about something that morally good or morally, you know, positive. We're talking about something that, for people that are, by all, you know, have all their fingers, all their health, and they just really, you know, they want to see some sexual act, instead of, you know, they put on goggles. And while that, even that is, I feel like, is okay, it's the part of it that gets in the way of our otherwise genuine human connection. That's what I don't want it to infect.
Absolutely. For me, I wonder about, like, the farther future. So, you know, virtual reality really isn't the future anymore. Virtual reality is what's happening now.
Right.
So if we look at the future of virtual reality, we're talking about more immersion, higher correlation between what you see and what you actually feel. A lot of the power for me when I've done Oculus Rift or when I've done the Vive or when I've done the Gear is the ability for these VR systems to genuinely trick me into having emotions that a regular video game or something wouldn't.
Right.
So there's this very powerful response being evoked by the fact that my senses are, you know, immersed inside this environment. That's only going to get better, potentially to the point, and I know this is a little bit more radical, but potentially to the point where there's, like, nanobots latched right. onto synapses, or that we have a chip on the side of our head that can send a frequency to just make us, to trigger a lobe that gives us that feeling. So are we, when we start to get to that point, where's the line between, like, what is a real experience and a negative experience? Where's the line between what's a real night out with a woman versus a virtual night out with a woman?
Well, the real is always what happens outside of the virtual world.
But what if you do psychedelic drugs and you go on a journey? Is that real too?
Yeah.
So why isn't the why isn't the perceived realm of the virtual reality as real if there's no difference?
Well, okay, then the perceived realm of virtual reality is real for how the effects that it has on my mind. Just like when I walk through Mount Tabor on mushrooms, if I were to do that again, what it affects in my brain is real, but like the shimmering of the leaf is not. Like if I do use virtual reality in some way to do something, the effects of my brain, like walking the streets of Paris, yeah, I mean, I saw it. Maybe I'm changed by that, or playing a video game that hits you like a novel. That is real, but the thing itself wasn't.
But if it changed you, if that shimmering leaf in that moment spawned a memory and a cascade of thoughts and experiences, does that make it any less valuable than the fact that leaf could be sitting there all mundane like when you're not on mushrooms?
No, it doesn't make it any less valuable, and that's one of the good things about virtual reality. But then we're back to like something creepy, and this is going to get weird.
Let's get weird.
What I've heard is that they had they're setting up this virtual reality thing where there's like a life-size doll of a woman that's there. So when you put on the virtual reality things and you're watching porn, there's something for you to touch. And that, I feel like, is just fucking weird.
That's pretty weird.
Is it that terrifying to go up and talk to a potential partner at the bar? Is it that terrifying? Are we that assured of our own failure that we can't even do that?
I mean, on that note, we're talking about how we address social issues, how we create this fear and this dynamic between men and women and people who are interested and attracted to each other. I think that gets to it's easy to say if you've had a good social life that like, why don't you just go to the bar? But for a lot of people, going to the bar or going to a social event is like a nightmare.
But
that's my point though, is like, I understand that what that says to me is that we either need to make that less of a nightmare for people or accept the fact that virtual reality is a good alternative.
You know, a way to do that would be to set up the virtual reality to where it trained, like it taught people how to talk to people in a bar, and it was like right before you got to the sexual act, the game shut off. You're like, God damn it, I gotta go out to the real world to get that part, you know?
I don't know, that sounds like increasing a lot of problems for people.
I don't know, but I do think
it's... A lot of blue balls.
But I do think it's dangerous that, you know, we're in a situation without virtual reality right now, and we have fleshlights and dildos, and those, you know, are considered okay, but like to varying degrees. But then, you know, we're in a situation where we're gonna apply virtual reality and anything we can choose, you know. I mean, the swath of shit that's available on internet porn is already a lot, but then to take that into something that people can, it can be all encompass them, and they can just, as much as they watch it now, they can just equally just down, just, you know, hit their synapses with the same thing, but we can add in things like a doll or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just worried that we're going to get in this situation where we have people locked away in apartments where they're not going out to the real world, they're not interacting with people, because it's just like that monkey, they did that experiment with that monkey that has the thing that can make it has the connection to its brain that hit like an orgasm. It just hit the button and the synapse fires, and they just sat there till they starved to death, just hitting that button. Emaciated monkeys just orgasm until they died. And I was like, I don't want us to be that, you know?
But are we... We're not maybe as far as the orgasming monkey, but are we really past being a culture of people who just sit inside their apartments and don't go anywhere? You know what I mean? I guess my concern is, are we actually giving people an ability and a toolkit to potentially address a social issue? I'm playing devil's advocate here, obviously, a little bit, but you know, do we use that virtual reality and that sex machine and that whole paradigm, and do we use that to get people to build confidence to go to the bar? I mean, and if it is that immersive, is it necessarily a negative thing if they go to the bar in a virtual bar and then have virtual sex and then take off their headset, and instead of being somebody who would have sat inside, possibly depressed, possibly abusing drugs or just watching TV, now this person, instead of feeling alone, got to have a true connective experience.
The simulation of
one. Yeah, but, you know, like, the simulation of Skyping with my family is super fulfilling.
But those are real people at the other end.
But yeah, it's a real person on the other end of the virtuality, potentially.
Okay, potentially. I think a way that this could be beneficial. One, I'm not saying what anyone else cannot do. I'm not in any point of this conversation saying that. You know, I just worry that we're going down a dangerous road that's easy for us to abuse, even easier than internet porn, which is already abused by a lot of people. And is already affecting our neurons and our brains in a way that we're unaware of. You know, yes. We don't know what it means for a monkey to see, like, you know, you have 10 tabs open, I've heard. And that you have like 10 tabs open and you're just like clicking between each one and your brain's just seeing all this stuff that it normally doesn't see.
Yeah.
You know? But a way that virtual reality porn might be good is that, you know, there's people that are sex workers for disabled people, and they, you know, they are what the title implies. They'll like help out people that are disabled, and there are people that are disabled that, you know, can't get laid. And yes. So sex workers help them out with that. And virtual reality is definitely something that would benefit that population considerably.
So then I guess that kind of goes back to, like, is it just a tool that's going to be used for good by some and used as bad for some? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, some people are going to find this as, like, a once-a-week thing. Some people are going to do this as, like, a once-a-month thing. Somebody's going to use this as three times a day kind of thing. You know, potentially if we get down the road with this technology. I'm with you. I am deeply concerned of the hijacking of our mental states that this will do in terms of making us... I mean, look, if you look at people just walking down the street and looking to their phones and Tinder and all these stuff, we've objectified people pretty severely in terms of turning them to digital models that we can just swipe left or right on.
Right.
So, I mean...
That's the thing. Yeah, like, yeah. For every person that you have that checks Twitter, you know, a few times a day or once a day or not once a week, you have people that are on it fucking constantly. You know?
Yes.
And that's the thing. Every step forward in technology, you know, some of us find a middle road, a middle path that we don't really abuse it, but we don't obsess over it. And we kind of settle into something where we check, you know, we check Facebook a few times a day or once a day and it works for us. But then there's other people that are like constantly on it. And their perception of self, their view of the world is based on it. And I feel like virtual reality porn is just another route that is going to arise, where it's like we have to, as a people, find a middle path where we're not all abusing it, and it's not making our lives incredibly detrimental, or like we're not obsessing over it, but also benefits us in some ways. It's just this one I feel like is kind of particularly precarious, given the fact that sex is like so much of why we do things on this planet.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, sex is the driving force of pretty much everything, and in a less crude way, I mean, it's vulnerability too. We're getting vulnerability through that sex. We're putting ourselves out there to have conversations with people, to strip ourselves naked in a Puritan society. There's a lot of vulnerability that comes from the pursuit of sex that I do worry, like you say, that we will lose when we give somebody the ability to just settle with having virtual sex rather than building up the courage to go out into the world and meeting somebody to be vulnerable with.
I agree. Like, vulnerability is a part. See, the thing I think that real intimacy requires vulnerability. And I think that intimacy is one reason that makes great sex great, you know? So if you don't have intimacy, or if you're not vulnerable with someone, it's hard to have true intimacy, which I feel like you kind of need to have great sex. But my point about that I was trying to make here is that I don't think that vulnerability can be a part of the virtual world if you know, we allow people to construct their avatars to not have any of their insecurities. It's like everything they want, you know, whether it's like super thin or buff or, you know, a perfect, you know, like, whatever someone's insecure about, they can design the avatar so that the avatar doesn't have those things. And then when they have a sexual experience in the virtual realm, it doesn't have vulnerability because they hashed out everything they were insecure about.
So how do we address that? How are we addressing people who, you know, only put up things on their profile that make it look like they're having all of these grand experiences, or that they have the perfectly angled picture that makes them look a certain way? Like,
you mean all of us?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. We all do the curation of our representation in the digital realm.
Agreed.
And so while I agree that virtual reality really exacerbates that issue and takes it to another level, we're not really doing anything to address it now. I mean, that's part of the fear, I think, of technology and virtual reality, is that, like, how would we, you know, we're moving so quickly into this new paradigm.
Yes.
With complete confusion and no understanding of the mental side effects and issues that are resulting from it. I mean,
that is the fear.
That is the fear. Yeah. I mean, do you have any notion on how we keep people from becoming virtually addicted to sex and just and
no,
I mean, becoming emancipated and just wasting away inside their apartment while the rest of the world passes them by?
I mean, I think that, you know, some people have an addictive personality and they're going to be addicted to anything that you put in front of them that they like. I think that for the rest of us, you know, it's not becoming addicted to something that is just, you know, is easier. You know, I don't want to be part of a culture or a society that, you know, instead of going out there and throwing ourselves out there at the bar and doing something frightening, you know, going up and talking to a stranger and risking vulnerability when you get naked with someone for the first time, instead of just washing all that away and just having it be easy and just this virtual reality thing that you put on, you don't really have to risk anything.
I wonder how many people were going to lose to that addiction that is, who aren't already lost to that addiction. Like, how many people are going to just continue going about their day? I mean, I'm a huge fan of virtual reality and I've not tried any virtual reality porn yet. There's, you know what I mean? There's people who are just going to look at that and go, that's just not something I'm into. While there's some people who have been sitting at home, not having any social life, and are just like, yes, finally, a more immersive version of what I've already been doing. I've already not been leaving the house for 2 years because I've been masturbating furiously to all of these websites. Right. And now I get to do it in a more fun way. Right, and like, they're excited about that. But I mean, that's what I mean. These people aren't, they're not being, like held back by this technology from something that they weren't doing, that they were going to do anyway. I mean, maybe it's too late now because internet porn is already so prevalent and we've already lost a huge sect of society to that issue.
Yeah.
But if those people are already lost to that, again, I guess my question to come back to it is, are there people on the fence that we're going to lose who will fall out of the social drive and who will result in that lost group?
I think inevitably, and that, I guess that's my worry, is that, you know, I feel like it's something that I view as almost like most similar. I mean, I haven't done heroin, but it looks to me like it's similar to heroin in that it's almost too good for a monkey to be in control of. You know,
yeah.
It just begs for abuse.
It does beg for abuse. I think that's a good place to end. Donovan, any closing thoughts on virtual reality and sex?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, that sums it up, I guess.
Well, I think that's all for us on Curious Apes, guys. Don't get addicted to virtual porn. Go talk to people. Be vulnerable. No matter how good it may be, the real thing is better. So yep. Go get some of it. Go be vulnerable. Be curious. Peace out.
It's almost too good. It's almost too good for a monkey to be in control of, you know?
Yeah.
It just begs for abuse.